Morning, everybody. How are you? Isn't it pretty outside? Sunshine, man, it's great. A little warmer. Maybe we'll have service outside today. Okay. We're a little early. Oh, okay. Well, how am I going to do this? We're going to start anyway. We're going to start with 423, and then we're going to stand, and then we're going to sing. So 423, please.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I'm pressed on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds with Him the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. Healing all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh may I then Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Heavenly Father, thank You for another day, Lord, that You give us, especially today to come to Your house, Lord, to worship You. Thank You, Lord, for being there for us. You're always there, Lord. We can throw our cares at You, Lord. Everything that we have, Lord, is Yours. We're nothing but stewards. But, Lord, help us to be the best stewards that we can be. Help us to remember to tell You, Lord, each and every day that we love You. And we do, Lord. That's why we're here today. Thank You, Lord, for this time. Thank You for our nation, Lord, for the many freedoms that we enjoy. But, Lord, I pray for our nation. Our nation is divided. Our nation has forgotten about You, Lord. I pray folks would turn, Lord, that we'd remember who You are, and especially what You mean to us. Be with us today, Lord, as our pastor's going to speak. He's going to bring forth Your message today, Lord. I just pray that it would be one that would honor and glorify You, Lord, in all that's said today. And, Lord, if a decision needs to be made for You today, Lord, that person might get right before they leave the very door here today, Lord. Thank You for this time, Lord. Just bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to do Behold Our God. And there's a little prelude to it, so don't start singing until we get into it just a little bit here.
Eleanor and Elizabeth asked if they could help us learn this song. So if everyone doesn't mind, they're going to stand here and sing out to help everyone. And there's a little bit of piano interlude between each verse, so just kind of bear with that. Do you all have copies in your bulletin?
No.
Okay, then you can just follow along on the overhead there.
Thank you.
us adore him. Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen not to reign. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore.
Thank you. Are you ready? Let me see. We're going to go into announcements here. And we have our evening service night 6, Way of the Master series. Good stuff, folks. Finishing up on it. There's only one or two nights left. Wilton Bible Study is the 8th and 22nd. Deacon Trustees, we're all going to meet on the 15th. 6th and the 20th, Personal Evangelism, Iron Sharpens Iron, the 17th. Music committee meeting, Sunday, the 25th, or Wednesday, haven't decided yet. We're going to check with Autumn there. The pre-registration for Iowa Regular Baptist Camp is May the 15th. Info is on the back table. Annual business meeting here at the church on the 13th of March. Ballots are going to go out on the 11th, and they're due back 28th. The nominating committee is going to meet the 29th at 6. Here we go. Pastor's thought for the week. When you think things don't look rosy in the rose garden, go sit with the black and red raspberries for a little while. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. One more thing there. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time, Lord, that we have to come to your house. Our pastor prepared a message for us again this week, Lord, and I just ask that you guide and direct him as he delivers it. Thinking now, Lord, of giving something back to you, Lord, be with the gift and giver now as we take up this song. We just ask that we try to just give something back to you, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing I forgot, We have what's called a Care for Kindness box on the back. It's for our turkey giveaway that we do every November. If you'd like to donate any change, whatever you might like to donate, just drop in the box. It's going to be used for a Thanksgiving food drive we have been doing every November. Seems like a long ways off, so don't feel you got to put something in it today. But as fast as time goes, it will be here before you realize it. So thanks for that. Kim's going to play for us now. Thank you.
Thank you for motivating us, Kim, towards the Lord today. That's what this is all about, isn't it, today? Drawing closer to the Lord. You know, in that song, it says that our hearts should really be what? Jesus' royal throne. So I encourage us today to consider, is your heart a throne today for the worship of the King? And if it's not, thankfully, the Lord is there to help us, and He wants to help us. He wants to see us in that kind of a walk today. Yes, young folks, you're dismissed for Children's Church. Kim, thank you again for that reminder and also for the warning about food that might be served at our house. No, it's been good. It really has. I haven't had any fuzzy meals lately anyway. So, but thank you for that reminder this morning. I hope you're all doing well in the Lord this morning. As Kim mentioned, we've seen three acquaintances in the last day that have gone to be in the presence of some maybe aren't in the presence of the Lord, but eternity. And so I encourage us today to think about eternity and think about where we are headed today. I'm thankful that through the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be headed. And I am headed for eternity in His presence. And it's all about Him, folks. And what He's done. I want you to know that today. He loves us dearly. And He wants good things for us. He wants us to be with Him forever. And to experience the good things that He has prepared for us. So I invite you to that today. That's always the thrust and the theme of what we come here to talk about. But today also, I don't think it's wrong to rejoice and to give thanks. And our message has that theme today. All the good benefits that God has given to us. Things that will draw us higher today and to lift us from the struggles and the depression and the things that we face in this world around us today. So on that basis, I welcome you in the name of Jesus. We're going to take just a few moments to pray here this morning as we get started. The message title is Important Facts for the Believer from Ephesians chapter 1. So you can have your scriptures prepared. I had a good visit with Jason about scriptures this week a little bit. And again, I'm not opposed for people to use your devices, but you know, it doesn't hurt to hang on to a paper Bible too. Because if we were to lose our power, we will not lose the power of the Word of God if we have it in paper, right? So hang on to multiple ways to have that precious jewel that we have being the Word of God in our availability. Anyway, also, just as you consider things, if there are needs, we plan to have a membership class at some point if there's enough interest. And also, I know and rejoice that we've had some people saved recently. And that gets me very excited. And so it could be that there would be some that would want to participate in believers' baptism. So any of those needs and joys, we're glad to share in and glad to see that happen here in our gathering here known as Fruitland Baptist Church. So welcome to one and all, whether you're a visitor or a long timer, we're glad you're here today. So let's take just a few moments of silent prayer, and then I'll finish with a short pastoral prayer. I also want to make it known Barb Salzberger's sister Mary Jane went home to be with the Lord yesterday morning as well. So pray for the Pulliam family and associated families, but Mary Jane was a sweet gal. I always enjoyed talking with her. But anyway, many things today to go to the throne about. Is our heart a royal throne for Jesus today? Let us pray together and we'll begin. Our Father in heaven, today we're so thankful that we have access to your throne of grace and mercy through the remedial work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the intercession of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer that we can have with you to begin today. We thank you that you have not cut off communication with humanity, but you endorse it and encourage it. And thank you, Lord, for that today. We feel and experience your presence with us today, Lord, and we want to let you know today that we have come here, first of all, to let you know what a wonderful God you are. Jesus, you're such a compassionate friend and a wonderful Savior. And yet, Lord, we understand today that you are also to be the judge. And Lord, we thank you for the personality of the Holy Spirit that comes alongside the believer, Lord, who is the guaranteeing presence of our salvation. And Lord, the guider and director, the convictor when we sin. Lord, we just thank you for the ministries that your personalities have to us today. We want to tell you, Lord, we adore you and worship you. Draw us closer to you today, I pray, O Father. Now, Lord, today we realize as we operate in the reality of humanity and the sin-cursed and broken world, which, again, I thank you, Lord, you've redeemed it. We have a way out of it, but Lord, we still live in it. We know several people have passed into eternity this week. We pray, Lord, for those families where those are the case. We thank you again, Lord, that this is a time when people pass from this life, that we can consider the lives of those of us that remain, and Lord, where our destinies lie. And I pray today that if there be a soul here in this gathering today that is not sure about that or knows that they are not headed into eternity with you, that this would be a day that there would be adjustments made with that, and that your Spirit would call them to be saved, to be delivered, rescued. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for every soul that's come through the doors today. And Lord, with that thanksgiving, we also are concerned about those who haven't. And so, Lord, there could be physical reasons, ailments of illness and maybe traveling and other things, Lord, but there also could likely be spiritual difficulties too. And we know, Lord, that many times absent people from the gathering are struggling spiritually. So we pray for those folks today, Lord. We pray for people like me today, Lord, that struggle every day. And I think that's the case with all of us. Increase our faith, I pray today, Lord. Help us to not forget our community that lies outside of our walls. Lord, may you draw them here inside these walls, but more importantly, to a personal walk with yourself and to fellowship with fellow believers. Now, Lord, again, there's many things that are in the hearts here today. I pray that we would quiet them today, Lord, that we would listen to these wonderful benefits that you have given and guaranteed to the believer. Lord, the church has great relevance, and one of those things is to extol and praise you today, Lord, with all that you have done for us. Lord, may these things today that we look at from Paul's hand to the church at Ephesus encourage us and sustain us, and Lord, give us zeal to get out there, Lord, and to let people know we have joy in our hearts because of what you have done for us. Lord, there's probably many things that I could have included in this prayer, but thankfully you know all things, and you are interceding on our behalf before the throne of your Father. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that was applied to the account of sin that was heavily in debt, Lord, on each and every one of us. We thank you and praise you. Now, Lord, I need your help to not just get through this message, but to present it in a way that brings you glory, and, Lord, is used of your Holy Spirit this day. And I admit, and everyone here knows it, including you, Lord, I'm not capable of this. So it's only by your doing, Lord, that this is accomplished. And now, Lord, we also ask, as we remember at the end of this service, your work on Calvary's cross on our behalf, that, Lord, we would be drawn again to remember what you did for us out of love. May this be a day like none other, Lord. Change us. Make us different, Lord. Talk to us today, Lord. Convict us. Comfort us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, as we have just completed a message, a lengthy message, you may say, on the priority of Jesus' church. And it is a priority, folks. He loves us dearly. And how it works in our lives. I have been led to speak on Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, which addresses the local church in general and gives us cause to consider some wonderful facts about what Christ has done for believers, who, of course, make up the church. Individuals and specific problems are not addressed in this letter. Yes, Paul did not write to the church at Ephesus about problems in their church, even though I know they had them. He did not write about disorder or discouragement or things like that. He wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus as an encouragement to believers to understand the great benefits that God has given to his people through his Son, Jesus Christ, and Christ's bride, the local church, the church. You know, benefits are important to people, aren't they? The other night, I had intentions of getting down here to Fruitland early after I had taught school for the day, and I backed up in the yard to get ready to feed the cattle before I came, and there was a man standing in our driveway. Why he would ever chosen to come to our place that day in the mud like it was, but he did. And he was a little forward with me. He came up to the truck, and he introduced himself as a? How did you know that, Doug? Yeah. You know, we don't see many salesmen anymore. I think it's just a few pastors and different believers that go out to people's doors a lot. But in the old days, it was not uncommon to have multiple salespersons at your place or in your driveway every day on the farm. List off a few of those. Avon. Who's that, Lisa?
Avon.
They never came to me. I was always a Mary Kay guy. No. Who sold Avon back in the days? Mrs. Bloomer. Gene Rock. Who else came to the doors?
Floor
Brush. Well, Bob, you're right, but I'm talking about Gene back here. Hetzler's Dairy. Yeah, Fuller Brush salespersons. On the farm, you always had feed salesmen. There were so many companies that sold protein and supplements in those days. And you always had, and they usually had canned hams with them. Buy 2 ton of feed, you get a canned ham. Okay. Seed salesmen, fertilizer salesmen. People even came out in the old days to sell you a car. Yes, you didn't go to the dealership, they came to you. Farm equipment salesmen. I can still hear Leo Rasmussen up in Wilton talking to my dad. Eddie, you know, this new disc would sure be an enhancement to your operation. And old Pop, he usually signed up for new things. A couple of times even we found things in our yard that he hadn't signed up for. You talk about old times. One time we came home from a place and there was a new grinder mixer sitting in the under the lean up at where Dave lives, Grandpa Brown's farm. My dad says, "Oh no, now I'm going to have to go pay for that." I kid you not about this, folks. The floor plan for the dealer, he had to move that grinder mixer or else he would have to begin to pay for it and pay interest on it and everything. And they knew my dad well enough that Eddie would go in and he'd pay for that grinder mixer. So we found my dad did those kind of things. Can you believe that today? If you left a new piece of farm equipment for someone just trusting that they'd come in and pay for it? Who knows what would happen? But folks, those were neat days. Anyway, this gentleman was selling insurance. Kim and I do have some insurance, and I won't mention the company or anything in case he's listening. By the way, we were able to witness to him, weren't we, Kim? It was a perfect, perfect open door. We let him talk. He wanted to come in the house. Yeah, come on in. I even gave him some of my, what do you call the cookies? They're not Oreo cookies that I have, but they're the cheap variety that I buy. Jory, I go for the dollar and a half ones. But I did run on a deal at Dollar General. They've got the double white stuff in them. Yeah. So, what's that, Kay? Double stuff. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I invite all of you to come eat lunch with me down here. I have moved. I don't eat Chef Boyardee and green beans anymore so much. So now it's usually the dollar canned soups, cheese and pickles, sardines occasionally, with mustard sauce. Kim and I have some policies for stroke and heart attack and things, and this guy said, you know what, I'm out, he was representing that company, he said, I'm selling nursing home insurance. Could I talk to you for a little bit? And so we went in, of course he showed us the brochure with all the benefits, and we did sign up for it, we're going to try it. And I won't digress into that today, but the point of it all is what? There are benefits in that that may be helpful to us when we sign up for that. Now, as I mentioned, when he was ready to leave, I said, I wanted you to know that I also work on a commission basis. He said, you do? What are you selling? I said, I'm not selling anything. I'm representing the greatest boss ever, Jesus, the greatest thing I could ever represent. So I was able to get the gospel in his hands, but talk to him too, and we'll see what happens. I invited him to come out calling with me sometime to see what I could learn. We needed him here, see, on Sunday nights. I said, I know where you're at. He said, I've been here 17 years. I said, that has to be a legacy. I said, every person that ever sold us this insurance before was gone within 6 months because they couldn't make enough money, because that's hard going out and talking to people. And so we had a really good visit, and then it was dark, and there's John again, out doing the chores in the dark. Benefits. How important are they? They're very important. By the way, jot some of these down today as we go through this. But let me finish my thing here. Individuals and specific problems are not addressed in this letter. You didn't want to hear about trouble this morning, did you? Aren't we able to avoid that once in a while and focus on the good things, on the benefits, the blessings of God, and the general descriptions that Paul gives here to the church at Ephesus? And by the way, it should draw us where today? Upward, heavenward. We need to be thinking about heaven, because what is this meeting this morning? Folks, in case you don't know it, it is dress rehearsal for heaven. I joked a little with Jory, and I'm glad to see all of you. I said, he's become a fixture here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Don't you wonder what it'll be like when we're all together in heaven? I still think we'll be doing some laughing, probably about some of the things that we experienced here, but the focus will be different. But today is a good day to get ready for that. And by the way, if you're not prepared today for these things, this is a warning. If you don't have the benefits, you know, and God forbid that Kim and I would ever get into a need for long-term care, but let's face it, it could happen, couldn't it? We don't know how everything's going to turn out. And it's the same way. We know, though, with the Lord Jesus, we need him, don't we? We all need him. Yep. That's what the book says. So we have to wrestle with that today. Anyway, what this should do today is steer us toward heaven with euphoria and gratitude because of the lofty position Jesus has put us in. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Being a child of God. And let's let discouragement not have a place, even in our vocabulary. Let us investigate these facts together today that God may lift our spirits on this day of the 4th of February in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'd like you to think about this just a little bit. And Kim started this, so she can't, you know, Kim evaluates everything. You could have done a little better on this, Pastor John. No, she's a great critique. But she mentioned food first today. The other night, Kim was sitting in her chair. She said, would you take a survey? And Kim, where did you get this? You know, in Eastern Iowa, what the most favorite restaurant of baby boomers is of all time. Machine Shed's good, but yeah. Bishop Buffet. If you're not from around here, that was a lot of us normal people. Ginger, was there one in Marshalltown? Cedar Rapids, I think, was probably as close as I got. Anyway, it was a buffet, and it wasn't great food, but it was good food, okay? And at the end, my favorite was the fish square, which was about the size of a plate, and their salad and the Thousand Island dressing. It was homemade. It was good, and everything that went with it. And then at the end, the Royal Ambrosian chocolate pie. So this is what I want us to think about today, that this is the good stuff that God's given us. And jot these things down today that you might catch them. So we've got to get started or we won't get... That's right. And we may not get done. So if we don't, we'll get back when we can. So Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. I'm going to highlight these rapidly as we go through this today. You might jot down a word or two on each one. First of all, Paul, he gives a greeting to the church at Ephesus in this letter. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Folks, I'm here to tell us today that when you are born again in Jesus Christ, you have been declared a saint. Saint just simply means this. It doesn't mean you're holier than thou, even though you're holy, because Jesus imputed his holiness to us. Okay? But what it means when we've been declared a saint is that we've been set apart. Now, I don't know. I'm not a big person on this, and you know me, I'm pretty low-keyed. But some people like to be exclusive. They like to feel that when they go somewhere with their gold card or platinum or whatever, that they're what? Special. Let me tell you today, if you've been born under the blood of Jesus Christ, you are special today. You've got the gold pass, folks. You're set apart. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus doesn't love everyone else, but he loves his children. And it's like I've seen in my wife. You know, she's told me before, you go against my cubs, I'll be a mean mama bear to deal with. But the point is, Jesus loves us that way, folks. And he set us apart. We're special. Don't ever forget that today. If you're under the blood of Christ, you're sanctified. You're set apart. Sanctified means that you're being prepared for better things ahead. Are we in that mode today, thinking that way? Or are we a bunch of doom and gloomers like most of the world today, even the Christian community? Folks, what lies ahead for the believer is good stuff. The fact of the matter is, saints are sanctified ones that are set apart, and we're set apart, according to this verse, to faithfulness in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul wrote there to the church of Ephesus. Just because we have the perks doesn't mean we don't need to be increasing in our faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, that's what he wants, because he's done and given his best for us. And folks, we are special to the Lord Jesus. Know that today. The thing that Paul writes about in verse 2, he says, grace be to you, he says, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you considered these wonderful benefits that God has given to you? Did you know today as a believer, you can have true peace in your heart? You can have peace in your destiny, first of all, but you can also have peace that the will of God will superintend over all things that you may be concerned about today in your specific portion or corner of life. You see, we're the recipients of grace and peace that come directly from God the Father and God the Son. This is direct, folks. Grace meaning what? We're a part of God's unmerited favor. Something that is not afforded to us by anything that we have done, but only through the benevolence of God. And we are entitled to the peace that the Bible says passes all human comprehension. Folks, we don't have to be, we can be concerned, but we don't have to be shaken about anything that happens. If we truly are at peace with the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever takes place this afternoon, we can have peace because we know that the Prince of Peace is in control of all things. Can I hear a hallelujah or an amen on that? Amen. That's wonderful things. And Paul's addressing this. He's encouraging that church. Paul goes on in verse 3 and he says, "Blessed or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Here's the thing, folks. We're going to realize from what I'm bringing to us this morning that the relationship with Jesus Christ and the blessings that flow from God are a wonderful benefit. But understand this, folks. We also, in this verse, have a responsibility. If you're excited about what God's done for you with the benefits that he's done for you and I, we ought to be a blessing, Paul says here, to him. Isn't that what it says? Blessed be, may the blessings be directed toward God and Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are our hearts in tune today to give God glory and blessing for the blessings that he's given to us? Our spiritual blessings, folks, according to this verse, what Paul told the church at Ephesus, cause us to be drawn heavenward in our focus. I want us to stop right now and consider just what we've learned already and what you know if you're here as a believer and if you're here as one who has never trusted in Jesus Christ. I think this sounds pretty good. The insurance salesman, when he laid out what this was going to cost Kim and I said, that doesn't sound good. And I'm telling you, quite honestly, we may cancel it yet. But we've been digesting this in the last day here. What are alternatives that we have? And I'm not going to go into our personal details with some of these things. But the fact of the matter is, are you digesting today, once again, the things that God has done and has it steered you heavenward? Or are you looking at things that are steering you towards the ways and the things of the world versus what God has promised? Oh, friends, this is a day to be turned. This is a day as the Spirit prompts you to face heavenward and look forward with anticipation to the next day God gives us, if he gives us it here on this side of eternity. Because, my friends, he has come through with blessings that we cannot even comprehend. Amen. Hallelujah, praise, thank you, Jesus. Paul goes on there. He says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, this is called part of what is very hard sometimes to understand, components of the doctrine of predestination and election. Okay? But folks, if you're here today and you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you were chosen by God personally for salvation. Now, the question always arises, does that mean that God chose others not to be saved? And that is not the truth at all. Jesus died that all might be saved. But God, in his foreknowledge and predestination, knew that some people wouldn't be saved. But friends, we don't know that. Jesus calls on us to go out with zeal to proclaim the gospel. See, we don't have that right to make that call. Only Jesus has that right. He has that knowledge. But he's given us the knowledge that we need to operate in a way that brings him glory. But friends, today, if you've been saved by Jesus, you were chosen by the Creator of this world. And what the Bible tells us before the foundation of the world. Now, is that a reason for us to think, well, that's because of who I am? No, it's because of God's grace and mercy directed to you. Praise God. See, that's what's important here. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Friends, we don't understand the beauty and the wholeness of our salvation that comes ahead, but neither do those apart from Jesus Christ understand the travesty that lies ahead for all eternity in a place of punishment and torment where we will pay for our sins called hell. Folks, we can believe what the Bible tells us. We better know where we stand about this because it's reality. It's reality, folks. And today is the day, because like we just said, we lost three people we knew in one day. Folks are leaving this world every day and departing into eternity, either in a place of joy and in the presence of Christ or in a place of torment and punishment. Even before full-blown lake of fire and all those things come along, folks, that's what the Bible tells us, if we are to believe what it says. Anyway, we were chosen, we were marked out. I'd like you to turn just briefly to 1 Peter 1:2. The Apostle Peter adds to this, 1 Peter 1:2, about this wonderful thing, about the choosing that God has done when He called you to salvation. By the way, this was not a decision you made. It's called the doctrine of irresistible grace. When God chose you to be saved, the day He chose you to call upon His name, to believe and place your faith and trust in Him, that was done by divine call. It's the doctrine of irresistible grace. You theoretically could have resisted it, but you could not resist it because God said, this is the time. Would there be anyone in this room this morning that God is speaking to and saying, this is the day you need to be saved? That could be. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2 says this. Peter's writing, he says, elect according to, he's again writing to believers here, same way encouraging, he's saying, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Salvation is no accident. It's not something you fell into one day. God chose you. And you can be saved today. Every person can be saved today. You'll know that God chose you when you've been saved. He calls us and He brings us into His family. Anyway, if that isn't enough right there where we could stop, isn't that a blessing? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Down in my office, I have a hog marker. Have I used that before? I think I have. But that's how God does that. He marks us out. He says, that person's going to be saved. He knows it before we know it. But hallelujah, He is involved in our lives before the foundation of the world, before we ever came to exist as that fertilized egg by the sperm, which creates a new soul. This stuff is just fantastic. Doesn't it put a smile on your face today? Well, we're going to do one more here. Is it okay if we come back next week? But, you know, as we consider all this, folks, think what we're going to celebrate here this morning. We're going to celebrate that very thing, that Jesus loved us that much, that He was willing as God, the sinless one, to become sin for us. He didn't know sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, through Him. Wow, this gets me excited. Verse 5. This adds to this, having predestinated us. Predestinated, a word that you could insert there, is predetermined or foreordained, okay? Us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Folks, we have two fathers potentially that we can have in this life. Talk to me about them. Three technically, Autumn, you're correct. We have an earthly father, but we also have what? the Heavenly Father, who we're brought into fellowship with and adopted through the work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or we have the third option, the Father, again, who is known as Satan, the father of lies, the father of evil. Folks, have you made a choice today? But here's what Paul told the church there. He says, when we've been predestinated or foreordained through Jesus, we have been adopted into the right family. Amen. You know something? Being involved in the right family has everything to do with how things are going to turn out. You know, you can look at your own life. You can look at the lives of others. A father and the position they have in a home or don't have or in a relationship is crucial. And God the Father wants to adopt us into His family through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Here he says, He is having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by or through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, in the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Who on earth would want to adopt someone like John Brown? Who on earth would want to adopt someone like you out here in the pews? Truthfully, if we lay it, huh? You think about that. Would you want to take in a troubled youth? I'm talking about ourselves here. You know, Kim and I have talked about that. Should we at our point in lives and under our circumstances, could we take in it? We could, and that's something we wrestle with. But it would require changes. But again, what are the criteria you'd think about? Well, what if there's this and that? God never thought a bit about that. He says, come into my family. Yeah. Melissa. We're in verses 5 and 6 of Ephesians chapter 1. Yes. Yep. Yeah. I'm sorry? Well, you just keep me accountable. And by the way, we're going to have open forum. And listen, if you ever have questions, let me know. I may not have the answers, but the book does. Okay, we can always go to the book. But bottom line, would you have adopted me? Jesus loved us. God the Father wants us in His family. He wants to be our Father. He's a perfect Father. I'm not. You don't believe that? Ask my wife and kids. But God is perfect. And He wants us in His family. We're going to have to cease there for today. Mark your places in case I forget. But what we're going to finish with today is a celebration of our adoption in Jesus Christ. And He invites you today, if you're here, if you are not a part of the family of God, He is inviting you today. He may be calling you today and saying, today is the day. Yield to Him with that. But at this time, I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward, and we're going to celebrate, again, what Christ did on Calvary's cross. He's asked us to do that, by the way. He says, this do as you remember me. And that's what this is about today. It's our relationship that's offered, or in the case if it is today in your life, that you have with Jesus Christ. And we want to vividly remember how much He loved us. He gave it all for us. All right, let's stand and sing this morning one verse of the hymn as the deacons come forward. 550, Softly and Tenderly. Softly and tenderly, Jesus.
straight with him. You know, I usually go into this later, but later on in this text out of 1 Corinthians 11, that's why Paul told the church at Corinth. He says, be careful what you do here. Because you know what? People here are taking what Jesus did on Calvary's cross recklessly. They're not placing the emphasis on Jesus. They're placing the emphasis, in this case, on their gluttony. They're coming, and by the way, we may do communion like this here sometime. We may break some unleavened bread. Is that okay with everyone? Yeah. Is it? Like I say, if you are mad, you have to get glad. It's symbolic. See, of what was going on at Corinth, they didn't come to fellowship to remember Jesus. They came to remember themselves. And that might be the case today with people. Maybe it's all about you, but friend, it's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. And so Paul instructs that church. He says, be careful how you do this. Don't receive this representative of Christ's body and blood recklessly. I think Paul applies that to this local church known as Freedom Baptist. And so I always say this. I can't preach about every sin or every situation, but you know in your heart where you stand with Jesus today. You know? I can tell you very vividly in my heart, there are things that definitely need improved. But I am not mad at anyone today, and I do know Christ as my Savior. And so I am in fellowship with Him. But friend, if you're not today, even if you're saved, it's better to take a few moments to get in fellowship with Jesus than to receive this recklessly. Okay? And tread upon what Jesus did for us. By the way, this does not save us. It only represents Christ's body and blood that He gave and shed for us. So with that said this morning, I'm going to ask Deacon Denny, as we think about His body. Denny, you might want to say a few words about Christ's body as He went to the cross for us. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Denny?
Yeah, I do. And this is the help relate to some of the things that Pastor spoke of. And out of Isaiah speaking to us, Isaiah 42:8. Jesus said, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to idols. And as I honored being with Jesus last night, came up with the song, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So,
thank you, Jim.
Our Father, give me, thank you again for allowing us this time, this short time, Lord, to come together, Lord, as your people, Lord, to reminisce the things that took place way back, Lord, given your life for us, Lord. And we thank you. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Lord, you found a way to allow us to be a part of that, Lord. Thank you for sharing your life with us, Lord. Again, help us to remember, Lord, how serious this is, Lord, to be a part of what's going on, Lord. Thank you again for choosing us, Lord. The question I ask myself, Lord, and maybe many others think of it too, Lord, where would we be, Lord, if we didn't know you? Lord, thank you for having mercy on us, Lord, keep us close, Lord, and now, Lord, change us, make us more like you. That's me. Amen. Thank you.
Spirit laid on him about what took place in the upper room there in the night before Jesus was betrayed. But Jesus instituted this supper with his disciples, who were also his friends, even though there was one that betrayed him, named Judas, but Jesus still loved him. Here's what it says. And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it, that being the bread, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup. Lonnie, this is an opportunity for you to thank our Heavenly Father and Son Jesus for his precious shed blood. You may have some words you'd like to say about that too today. But folks, this is where our sins are covered in the blood of Christ. Today, yes, he bore those sins on the tree, but he covered them. No longer to be seen by God the Father, to be held against us when we're adopted into the family of God. Lonnie, would you thank you?
Father, thank you for this time that we can come here and realize your greatness, Lord, that before the foundations of the world were even made, you chose me and every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ here today to be saved. Thank you for my Savior. Thank you that he came willingly as a servant to you for me and the rest of us here. Lord, the awful things that he had to go through, but he became man. He became friends with people, Lord. He lived amongst us. He knew who we were. He knew what we were. But he could know no sin. Thank you for his sacrifice, Lord. Thank you that he gave all for us. And Lord, as he bled on that cross, who knew that his blood covered all sin? But it did, Lord. You turned your back on him that day, Father, but it was only because you couldn't look upon sin. You know how he cried out. Thank you for what he's done, Lord. Thank you that we can know him today. Thank you that we can take these elements, Lord, remembering what he did for us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name.
Said in his prayer that when Jesus was there on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." The Bible records there he gave up the ghost. Folks, there's nothing more coming. Because what Jesus has done for us is all sufficient. There will be nothing that will supersede it. He died for the sins of the world, of every person who will receive. do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Again, today as we prepare to depart, if you have things on your heart, I'm glad to talk to you about anything regarding the Lord. There are others here that are as well. Don't leave this place wondering today. But leave this place with joy and with confidence in Jesus. It's recorded today.